there's just enough chill in the air, some dust, and some diesel exhaust. But I love it, because it means it's harvest time. The bins are all cleaned out, or at least they should be. The service techs are all highly caffeinated, and it's time to get to it. And we're coming along for the ride. Welcome to the Harvest Trail Podcast, where we're going to meet up with the heroes of the harvest and tell their stories, in hopes that when we're done, we're all a little smarter. And now to the show. All right, welcome to the Harvest Trail Podcast. We've got a wonderful guest joining us today, Mr. Ben Land from Atlantic in Southern, out of Georgia, North Carolina, Alabama. Anywhere else, Ben? Where else are you at, Ben?
We'll hang out in the Florida Panhandle from time to time, and also cover South Carolina.
Yeah, yeah. Busy, busy. Big geography. And you know, that's a really important point, is that on the podcast thus far, we've talked a lot about corn and bean country. And not that you don't have those things, but your harvest gets a little more complicated. What's going on? And you know what we really should tell the listeners? Where you're at right now.
Well, I'm at the 44th Annual Sunbelt Agriculture Expo down in Moultrie, Georgia. Three-day event today, tomorrow, and Thursday.
If it isn't still, for a long time, that was the biggest farm show in America.
Yes, and I believe it still is the largest outdoor farm show in North America still.
Tremendous diversity of crops and cropping styles down there. So as we head into fall harvest, what's going to be on your mind? What type of, you've got a lot of different things that your farmers are going to have to bring in. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, well, they've got a lot of things going on right now. We've got, of course, cotton's going on as we speak. We came in this morning to a field of peanuts that had already been inverted, getting ready to be picked. So there's a lot going on in South Georgia, South Alabama right now, and also in the Carolinas. So, you know, farmers are running. That's what's interesting in a show like this. It's the weather's been beautiful, a little cooler than it normally is. We actually got some of our larger customers came in first thing this morning, saw the booth. They weren't here long. They were in and out, needed to make a few stops, and then they were running back out to get on the cotton picker. So trying to stay productive and trying to stay busy, but also take a quick second to see what's new at the show.
Yeah, yeah, and there is a lot to see this year. It is always amazing to me that the show does come in the middle of such a crucial harvest. And you had mentioned cotton coming in. Yeah, cotton, very, very agricultural, chemical dependent crop. And that comes down to something that you guys at Atlantic and Southern are very specialized in, which is the ability to get out there and put down the right amounts of the right products the right way and environmentally responsible as well. Tell us a little about that new little sprayer you got there, or maybe not so little sprayer, and what that's going to mean for the farmers that you serve.
Well, we're excited. The Fence, taking over the Rogator sprayer line. It's still an AGCO product, still produced in Jackson, Minnesota. It's going to be Fence branded now. They've got a new, I guess they're calling it the Rogator One Cab, if I'm not mistaken. It is new design, new layout across the board. The features and benefits on the new Fendt Rogator itself, they've got it available in an adjustable crop configuration where it can go up and down. The unit that they've brought in, the marketing unit they brought in for the actual show, is a liquid sprayer. What we do more of than anything is the dry chemical spreaders. But it's a pretty diverse machine available in four-wheel steer, something that we've done real well, been a real core business of ours, the product that comes out of Jackson, Minnesota. So we're certainly excited about it and excited about, the new options we've got on this new Fendt Rogator as they start coming in late November, early December for us.
Now, you also, in that dry product, you've got that R1, R2 Air Max, which is not a very old product, but an incredibly innovative one. Can you tell us a little bit about how the customers are taking to that new product?
Yeah, we've got some select customers that do well with that Air Max unit. The ones that have really studied out the application piece of the business and want to be very, very specific specific on their spread patterns, know exactly what they've spread, where they've spread. To your point that you made a while ago, environmentally conscious about what they've done, the Air Max is a great unit. So we've got some pockets in North Alabama and South Alabama and some hit and miss pockets here and there where folks really enjoy running that that Air Max system from Rogator.
Now, you're also in Terragator country down there. The long, right. The tried, the true, the Terragator. It's been imitated. There's been people that have tried to come out there and imitate that old three-wheeler. What keeps the Terragator running strong with the retailers out there? Why do they love it so much?
Well, it's the heavy-duty machine. It's not in a row crop configuration, but it's a heavy-duty machine, can carry a heavier load, and you know, it's just continued to do well. They, as you mentioned, there's some competitors that have come out with machines that just haven't caught on like they thought they would. The numbers for the Terragator machine are not as high as what they've been in year past, but it certainly has a good acceptance rate among customers that are traditionally running that Terragator and like running that traditional setup where you just got the heavy-duty box and you carry more weight.
You know, where your Tifton location is down there, right on that, near that line, that is a really interesting part of agriculture. A lot of fresh fruits, or a lot of fresh fruit and vegetables come out of there. Very, very versatile situation for farming. And you've just picked up about as versatile tractor as they make. Tell us a little bit about your new green tractors you got down there.
Yeah, we've got, ATCO's got the Fendt line of tractors. It's new for us. It's not new for ATCO. In the build in North America, what's new for them is the row crop configuration, where traditionally they haven't offered the Fendt tractor in the row crop configuration. It's done well in cattle country and dairy country. And so it's new for us the last couple of years with a row crop configuration. So the higher horsepower offering that they've given us has really given us, you know, when we're able to cover up the 500 horsepower on a fixed frame wheel tractor, really giving us a lot of versatility on our products and you know, what we're able to offer a customer and what they're able to do. And the thing about the farm in South Georgia is a lot of farmers like experimenting with different tillage pieces. When you get in a deep till application, they like to go larger. They like to go wider. They like to go deeper, and so what that usually requires is a lot more horsepower. So what we're seeing now is with some of the horsepower offerings that Fendt has given us, you know, we're seeing some customers start to do some things in width and depth configurations that they've never done before, really giving them an extra opportunity to save several passes across the field, save time, and get things done more efficiently as they go.
So you've got a, you know, we one of the things that we do know that is growing down in the South is we're getting more and more presence of livestock. And, you know, we've always had calf and cow operations down here, but now we're starting to see more dairies. And we're, you know, you've got, you're not too far from a pretty major beef packing facility down there. We're starting to see bigger livestock operations be part of what we do here. And you've got two tractors that you can get in their hands. You've got the Fendt, the smaller Fendt tractors, which are amazing, but you've also got some of these smaller Massey Fergusons. How do those play a role on some of these livestock operations?
Yeah, Jeff, they do really well in that it's more of a traditional line that we carried. Massey gives us an opportunity to offer the customer a little more economical setup on a tractor. Some of the features and bells and whistles that we see on a Fendt aren't necessarily needed when you're running a larger animal operation where, you know, you may have three or four different operators on a tractor during the course of a day or more. So you need a pretty standard tractor. You need a basic transmission. Don't need a lot of bells and whistles going. And that's where a lot of times Massey gives us just the old Massey Ferguson tractor that's been the tried, true and true. Dating back to, I'm sitting here looking, we've got a old Massey 135 here that, you know, dates back to the 60s and 70s when Massey was really in their big heyday here in the U.S. And so what they give us today is just a really good, dependable tractor that allows that customer to do what they need to do, and you know, not have to worry about all the extras that they don't necessarily need. They're able to get on the tractor, get the job done, and be done with it for the day.
Tell me some other unusual crops that you're going to come across. Because, again, I mean, out of everybody that we're going to have on the show this year, your geography covers more crops, I would guess, than anybody else. Everything from peanuts, tobacco, pecans. Tell me how I want the listeners just to get an idea of how broad you've got to be able to look and work for these farmers.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that probably the last 18 months has probably been the hottest product for us is hay equipment. And folks going from traditional hay equipment to, I'm sitting here looking at some, you go to the silage hay where you're going to wrap your hay, where traditionally it's just been a net system or a twine system, and now we're wrapping. You've got all these attachments that are added to stacking hay, accumulating hay, and so that's big. You go to soybeans, you go to still doing corn here where we are, so corn's still a large crop, and it's, you know, you got a lot of farmers that have adapted and gone to pivots where they're irrigating their crops, and then you've got a lot of traditional farms that, you know, they're not irrigating at all, and so it's just a traditional farm where rainfall is what they count on. So a lot of variations depending on what farmers do year to year, what they cross plant, what they use as their late season planting. So there's just a lot of things we see across the Southeast that are options there.
You don't sell the school buses with the sides cut out for the watermelons, do you?
Not yet. Not yet, but we're certainly open. There's certainly some good designs there.
I was down in Omega maybe, and was staying out on a farm, and I watched a guy cut his peanuts, he was combining them, and he had no cab, and oh my goodness, that's a dusty job. It's dirt dust, but oh my goodness, that's a nasty job. And he had a scarf tied around his face like Billy the Kid. He was just going. That's a very good potential customer for a new tractor, maybe a new one of these new smaller fence that have come out. He will come away much cleaner from the day with that.
Yes, sir.
Now, you, in addition to ag equipment, you sell material handling equipment that is often used for ag. And you were talking about moving bales. And one thing that we have seen is a lot of people over the past 10 years or so going to cotton in a wrapped round bale, and they've got to move that stuff around. So what are you putting in their hands to move everything from these hay bales, cotton bales, seed totes, things like that? What you selling today?
Well, one of the things we actually have set up on the yards, we have a Fiat 900 series tractor with a front hitch and a rear hitch on it. And on the front hitch and on the rear hitch, we have each of them, we have one of these wrapped cotton bales on front and rear. So we do that. We can do that with tractors as we're moving it. We're also using, just started with Merlo telehandlers, where we're able to take this, whether it's the wrap bales or you're taking hay bales, you're able to take, stack them, put them on trucks as you need to. So that's certainly a new area that we're in. We're exploring some other opportunities, but you know, farmers, when they get done with their hay, when they get done with their cotton, they've got to have a quick and efficient way to get it stored or to get it hauled off. And that's one of the areas we're looking at, to see if there's some other opportunities we can help customers that we're already working with.
And we know that depending on the crop that the farmers are going to be in, it's going to be some money to spend at the end of the year. It's going to be some money they have to spend by the end of the year. What can they come get from you? What would be a great investment for their organization, their operation next year?
Well, Jeff, I'm going to say anything we've got on the yard. It's, inventory still remains the challenge as far as what we can get. We're starting to see some inventory start to hit the ground, which is exciting. But A lot of the hot moving pieces that we do, a lot of application equipment, Fendt tractors, definitely sunflower tillage equipment. Those pieces, as they're coming in, they're already marked retail and they're just right back out the door. So If there is something that somebody's got to buy, whether you're buying from Atlantic and Southern or you're buying from another dealer, I would say you want to make your purchase sooner rather than later. The December 31st purchases are going to be tough with the inventory shortage. So know what you need, be well studied up on it, but be willing to sit down and make your purchase, you know, mid to late November, and save some heartache, because anything that is going to be available, it's probably going to be tough to find come December 31st this year. So I would say, Jeff, anything we've got on the yard, let us know what you need. Let us know what we need to do to make a deal for you.
All right. You heard it here, folks, right from the Sunbelt Agricultural Expo, America's largest outdoor farm show. You better get down to Atlantic and Southern and put your name on it, or at least put your hand on it. Does that count, too? Like, the people at the mall with the minivan, if you hold your hand on it the longest, you get to keep it?
Yeah, we'll try it. We'll try it and see if Mr. Evans will approve that one.
Ben, thanks for being on the show, and have a great time down there.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for the time.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. I know I did. I also hope you'll keep tuning in for more insight, discussion, maybe a few laughs. And if you'd like to join us on the program and tell us about your harvest, just send us a message by connecting with us on social media. The Harvest Trail Podcast is a production of Agricultural Dealers United and brought to you by some of the best dealers in the business. You can find previous episodes on your favorite podcast platform or at theharvesttrailpodcast.com. The show's produced by Rich Williams, and I'm your host, Jeff Michaels. Until next time, may your bins overflow and the fuel bill stay reasonable. May the bean dust stay on the outside of the cab, and the stalk stay out of the tires, and may someone else have to blow out the radiator. Have a great, safe, enjoyable, and bountiful harvest from all of your friends right here at the Harvest Trail Podcast.